This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Good evening.
Good evening, Lon.
What's up with the allergies?
I don't know. I'm getting an allergy attack over here.
I know. I am so glad that is one thing I've never had a problem with, because people that do, that just stinks. What's the other one when you get a migraines?
Never had a migraine.
I haven't either, but man, when I have friends that have them, and
ugh. It's a bit of like a Chinese water torture thing.
Yeah, you're
when
just...
your nose is just running, because it's never annoying enough to be like, I can't be on the air because my nose is running.
I mean, correct.
That's silly, but at the same time, it's like you got to constantly shove a Kleenex up your nose. It's annoying. Anyways, here's the weather brought to you by the U of I College of Aces for a more than meets the eye opportunity. You can visit them online at aces.illinois.edu. Guys, it's going to snow tonight.
What?
Yep.
Is it really?
I'm serious. Starting at 1 a.m., a 100% chance of snow until 8 a.m.
Oh.
We're expected to get about an inch to an inch and a half at most.
Wow.
Tomorrow, the high is 34 and cloudy, so it may not melt tomorrow.
Okay.
However, Thursday and Friday, highs in the upper 40s and sunny, so we'll lose it at that point. But up to an inch of snow overnight in Champaign-Urbana. Right now, 30 and dark. ESPN Radio.
I'm going with your intro yesterday because I want to ask you and Isaac about love.
And here we go.
Go. There's a drive.
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done. Well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Illinois fires its football coach. Lovie Smith is out after five seasons with the Illini.
Did we win enough games? Absolutely not. We all know there's a scoreboard, and we all accept the fact that when you sign on the dotted line for these opportunities, there are certain expectations that come with them. And we weren't able to do that, and unfortunately, there are certainly consequences in that.
It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, no Derek Piper. He just left. We're going to talk to him here in a bit from State Farm Center. Big Ten play begins tonight for your Fighting Illini. There's been a few games already. Michigan won. Last night, Rutgers won at Maryland. But Trevor Valise joins me, and so does Isaac Ambrose from the other room. I was going to ask you guys, because now, Trevor, you and I were on Sunday when Josh Whitman delivered the press conference announcing that Lovie Smith had been fired, essentially let go as head coach at Illinois.
They did say fired, by the way.
They did?
And they didn't say they've agreed to mutually part ways.
He was fired.
You know, because with Hardy, he retired.
Okay.
Quote unquote. Garrick, they parted ways. And then Lovie, they said fired. So, I don't know if that matters, but I just felt like noting it.
So somebody again today, and I've heard this now. I told you about this yesterday. I have seen now from like four or five different people asking if Miles Smith punched Josh Whitman. I would assume no to that.
Yes, and the earth is flat.
Correct.
And all that good stuff.
And I would not want to punch Josh Whitman.
He had a mark under his eye.
Yeah.
I don't know why the logical jump in assumption is Josh Whitman has a mark on his eye, so that means Miles Smith punched him.
Well, maybe because they asked point blank, will there be any coaches that won't be coaching against Penn State? That game, by the way, at 4 o'clock?
4:30, yeah.
4:30. And, the answer was Miles Smith will not be.
He's so, always had that under his eye, though.
I know.
Like, if you look at a picture of him from 3 years ago when he smiles, it looks like he's got a mark on his
eye. So, I don't believe Miles Smith punched Joshua.
Well, that'd be assault, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be.
I think we'd hear about that.
Yeah, I think he'd... there'd be police involved in that one. So, all right, I just had to get that aside because it was kind of funny and it just keeps coming up.
What do you think, Trevor? Now that you've had a couple of days to realize that Lovey is now gone and a new search is underway, or a search is underway, what are your thoughts on this, on both Lovey being gone and also what you're expecting or hoping for in the next coach?
First of all, I agree with you and what you said on Sunday in terms of I don't blame Josh Whitman for hiring Lovey, but I'm glad he made the decisive choice at that point in time to fire Lovey. I think there was sort of this, fair or not, because we don't really know Whitman personally very well. He keeps things tight,
sure,
to his credit. But there was this sort of trepidatious concern throughout the season from fans that maybe there's just enough out there for Whitman to be convinced to bring him back another year. Maybe the COVID financials have something to do with it.
Great point.
Again, fair points.
Yeah.
But it was kind of nice and relieving to me to see him decisively come out the day after the regular season ended, because this game is supposed to be like after season crossover game. So it was just nice the morning after, you know, Jeremy wrote a great article that said now it's basically up to Whitman.
Yeah.
All eyes turned to Whitman. And less than 12 hours after that article came out, he fired him.
Boom.
So it was kind of relieving to me to sort of rewrite the narrative in hindsight and say, I get that we were all concerned that this may or may not happen, but essentially the first chance he had to do it, he did it immediately.
Yes, he did.
And he did not mince words.
Nope.
So it was encouraging, I guess, in the sense to me, I'm not rooting for someone to be fired, but it was encouraging that Whitman basically was on the same track mind as most of the fan base was with this.
I agree.
Right. So that was sort of like, okay, it wasn't something where I saw one thing and he saw something completely different. There was no concern about that.
And it shows to me that his hands aren't tied. I know I had heard from a couple of people saying, you know, there could be an issue here with his hands being tied, being able to do this.
Basically, there were 10 excuses during the season, and he could use any one of the 10.
Correct.
Fairly. And we would have been upset about it.
Yep.
He didn't.
Nope.
He immediately made the decision. So for me, it was sort of an instant, again, I hate to use relief because we're talking about a person and a staff that's gotten fired, but there was a bit of a relief to where, like, okay, he gets it. He's seeing the same thing we're seeing. We're going to move on.
We're going to play Brad Underwood audio to kind of end the show. I've just kind of changed my mind on that after we talked to Derek over at State Farm Center. Now, I want to bring up Brett Bielema with you here in a second because I think I changed your mind somehow.
You did in like 2 minutes.
In 2 minutes, which is weird because I don't know that
in my own mind.
I don't know that my mind is even in that. But I want to bring on Isaac Ambrose now. And Isaac, ask you also the same kind of thing that I asked Trevor, in the sense that we haven't had a chance to hear from you. Now that it is done, what did you think of the Lovey Smith firing, essentially? I mean, I think for a lot of us, we thought it was time. Did you think it was time?
I definitely thought it was time. I think the past couple years, besides the 4-game winning streak, when I started to immediately question, it was after the Iowa loss, the 63-0, and then you started off ugly last year and lose to Eastern Michigan. And I was like, okay, this thing is not working. Then you go on the 4-game win streak, and then you lose your last three. And I was like, it just feels like so boom or bust with Lovey. Because if you weren't getting takeaways and you weren't making these miracle comebacks, you weren't winning games consistently. So I definitely thought it was time. And I don't know, Josh has such a smooth voice, and he says things like
he's eloquent.
Yeah, you can tell he's the man in charge.
Exactly.
I know this was a big decision for him too, and a lot of us make it seem like it's such an easy decision, but it's not. And he clearly had to put in a lot of time and effort and thought into this. But I love too how there wasn't a set benchmark, like, okay, if we win 3 or 4 games this year, he's gone. He was basically saying it's the eye test. And the thing that's been my problem, and I think a lot of Illini fans' problems the past few years, is a lot of the games you weren't competitive.
Mm-mm.
And in the Not wins, the wins almost felt fluky. And
yes.
Every time you played Iowa, every time you played Wisconsin, besides last year, it was like they were playing a max school. And I don't think that's acceptable for the facilities we have, for how much Lovey's getting paid, for the amount of resources. There's a lot of kids in state that if you just recruited in state, we could compete for Big Ten title.
Yeah.
And I think Josh took all that into consideration, and again, he just made it sound like a good thing, even though firing a coach is never good. But it almost felt like, it's still hard for me to believe that it's actually happened, because I've been thinking about this day possibly coming the past couple years, and especially most of this season, we've been like, okay, it's time. So now that it's actually here, it's like, okay, what?
Well, to your point about being competitive, I still go back to the Iowa game last year
on the road in the sense, and I've said this to you, Trevor, that I was almost as, almost, okay, take the Wisconsin game, the win out, all right? I mean, that was incredible, and we'll always have that, right? And we're not going to apologize for knocking off Wisconsin. But I was almost as impressed with the loss at Iowa as I was any other game last year. And to Isaac's point, that was one of the games of not many that you were competitive against another Big Ten, especially Big Ten West team. And I can remember it because that was only one.
Right. It's easy to remember the wins when there's four of them against the Big Ten West in 5 years.
That's sick.
Less than one a year against your tightest opponents.
That's
the
sick.
People you see the most in the West. But yeah, I remember I tweeted after that game, I said something to the effect of like, how damaged are we as Illinois fans that I feel great after that loss because it's like the best loss ever because you actually just competed against a good team for 60 minutes.
So true.
Jeremy said they won the battle in the trenches. I agreed.
Yep. Outrushed them.
Right. And so that was something where it's like, to me, the four wins were what they were.
Yes.
One was in a hurricane against Purdue that didn't have a quarterback or Rondale Moore.
Right.
You won that game. You know, one was against Rutgers where you were losing at halftime, or at least tied, right, and came back to win.
Michigan State.
One was against Michigan State where you were down 31 points at one point in that game.
That's incredible.
And one was against Wisconsin where you were literally a shoestring tackle away from going down 31-10 late in the third quarter in that game.
Tony Adams.
So, again, I'm not taking any – it was Witherspoon who made that.
Oh, was it Devin?
I'm not taking
any – Don't correct me.
Oh,
let other people correct me. You okay. Let me make mistakes.
Sorry,
and
I
let
forgot.
Everybody else understand that, okay, maybe it was right. Adams.
In the co-host chair, I'm not supposed to correct. It's only when whoever's in the other room gets to correct
right.
you.
No, and actually, honestly, if you're just going to correct me all the time, that's all we're going to do. You just need to let it go, and people out there understand that I'm never right.
It was V'Angelo Bentley Law. Come on now.
I remember him.
But
he was good.
After those four wins, I just still didn't know, like, where are we? This has been an awesome month.
Yes.
The Iowa loss, in a weird way, almost solidified to me that they were turning a corner.
I agree.
But then you come out and you lose to the four-string quarterback with Northwestern. And I get it. You didn't have Bebe. You didn't have Hansen. You know, you were playing Matt Robinson. I get it. But then you rest up for a month. You got everybody back for the bowl game. And frankly, that was not that competitive.
No.
I was there. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were there.
You lost by 20, and you should have lost by more.
And their quarterback looked like he should have been Heisman candidate.
Chase Garbers, who, by the way, is not playing well for a Cal team that finished 1-5.
Wow.
So I just...
And Graham Mertz, who looked like a Heisman candidate.
I feel like I should almost do like a half-hour segment of just checking in on the guys that carved up Illinois. Aiden O'Connell's out for the year with shoulder surgery. Didn't play that well. Graham Mertz looks pedestrian at best.
Yeah.
Chase Garbers is nothing to write home about at Cal.
My gosh.
Every single guy where you walk away going, you know, maybe it's just the other guy.
Yeah, that guy was good.
No, it's not.
All right, I changed your mind on Brett Bielema, and I don't even think that I'm all sold on Brett Bielema, but I wanted you guys to see that Wikipedia page, and then you started looking down at his wins thinking, well, wait a minute, that's a lot better than I thought. There is no doubt that Brett Bielema won at a big level at Wisconsin. Now, you can argue that whoever you stick in that role is going to continue to win at Wisconsin because it's such a system now and that program is just so ingrained in winning.
That's the only thing.
But, and he didn't win at a high level at Arkansas. Now, he did win some games at Arkansas.
That's what kind of changed my mind, too, when we looked at this.
And Arkansas, don't get me wrong, they've had some years in the past, but I don't know that they've ever been, like, in the last 20-some years, I don't know if they've ever been, like, dominant in the SEC.
Right. But he finished 500 at Arkansas. And so, you know, I thought that he went to Arkansas in my head, and I thought he just failed for 4 years and got fired. Well, he went 3 wins, then he went 7 wins and won a bowl game, 8 wins and won a bowl game, 7 wins and won a bowl game.
Wow.
Then went 4-8 and got fired.
Okay.
So at least to me, it was sort of like, okay, he went 7-8-7 in the middle of that. And I don't know what happened during the 4-8.
Right, right.
There's an interesting note here at the bottom that says Bielema was fired after the final game of his fifth season. According to Bielema, he was dismissed while still coming off the field.
Oh, wow.
Like they literally told him pack up as he was shaking people's hands.
Okay.
So I don't know what happened there exactly. Obviously, something had been rubbed very much the wrong way during that final season.
Which is something that I think comes with Brett Bielema.
Yep. I would say he is an acquired taste.
He's almost one of those that when you hire him, if you do, I'm just going to tell you that when it ends, it's not going to end well.
Like Pelini.
Yeah, correct.
Right?
Correct.
Great coach, but then suddenly when something goes downhill, he's cussing out reporters. Yeah. And.
But it's funny because Illinois football, what would we give to be Iowa,
right,
to be Wisconsin? Well, and here you've got a guy that played at Iowa, mm-hmm, under Hayden Fry, I think, back in the day. And then, or was it Kirk Ferentz? No, it would have been Hayden Fry because he played. He was my age. Played from 89 to 92.
He was a linebackers coach there for 5 years, starting under Ferentz.
Okay, under Kirk. So he's been under Hayden Fry, played under, coached under Kirk Ferentz, went to Wisconsin, took over that head coaching
defensive
spot.
Defensive coordinator there for 2 years, then the head coach for another 7 years.
Wow. So, I mean, he's won 3 Big Ten titles. And he's won a Super Bowl champion with New England,
I think. Of the last 3 years, he was coached by Bill Belichick.
Okay.
So, I mean, you'll take that too, right, as an coach under. And so I guess my point was just, you know, Arkansas is in there with Auburn and Alabama. That can't be an easy division to feel like you're going to come out of,
no,
right?
No.
And so, to me, I thought that he just crashed and burned at Arkansas, but to see 7-8-7, mm-hmm, in that, I mean, the SEC's tough.
Yes, it is.
So the fact that he went 7-8-7, he's basically won everywhere he's gone.
Yep.
And you could argue that he should have had a higher ceiling. You could argue that, you know, he went to 2 Rose Bowls and lost both of them.
Wow.
So he never really reached, like, the upper echelon. But, again, I got to kind of reality check myself here. This is Illinois.
Yeah.
7-8-7 is fine.
Oh.
Okay. Wisconsin was 12-9-7-10, 11-11-8.
Wow.
Fine.
Yeah.
Like... If the knock on him
7-8-7,
right,
I'm in heaven.
If the knock on him is after 7 years of 7-8-7, something's going to go wrong. I'll deal with that
Amen.
Later. That's
Amen.
Fine.
Isaac, I'm going to bring you back in. Is there one guy that you want besides Sean Payton who you wouldn't take?
No, yeah, he's last on my list. If I had, I like Lance Leipold.
Yeah,
because of that, he's been proven to do that at Buffalo for the past, it's been multiple years. I know there's been talks of Sean Lewis, the Kent State guy, but he's only been at
Young
Kent
kid.
State. Yeah, he's only been at Kent State a couple years and hasn't done anything crazy. So I'd rather have somebody that's been proven. And I like that he was able to, he's been able to work his way up. And since he was at D3, Wisconsin Whitewater, won like, what, 6 national titles or something
he
like that?
He went 109-6 with 6 national titles.
This is so unfair because I think Jim Tressel did that at Youngstown State. But all I could think about when I heard that stat was Nancy Faye. And that hasn't worked.
Correct.
But,
no, but he had to stop in between at actual D1 football of Buffalo.
You know who else did that and did really well? Was Wisconsin's basketball coach.
Bo Ryan?
Bo Ryan.
Mm.
Wanted a big whatever at D3, and then wanted a high level, no doubt, with Wisconsin.
Wisconsin-Platteville?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never even heard of it.
I think he led them to national
titles. Went 356-53.
Woo!
A winning percentage of 83% under Bo Ryan there. They won 5 national titles.
Wow. Maybe it's just a Wisconsin thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they're D3s up there, and they are good. I remember Milliken always playing against some of those Wisconsin D3 teams.
Yeah.
I do want to circle back, not to interrupt Isaac's candidates, but I do want to circle back to your point on what if it's just Wisconsin. That would be my only con for both Bielma and Jim Leonard. And I saw somebody tweet this, and I wish I could attribute it. He said, my only concern about Leonard is that's basically the Yankees hitting coach.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
In terms of, like, I almost feel like that's so good that it's a plug and play.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever's going to be there is essentially, because Barry Alvarez is still there, right, as the AD.
Yeah.
And it just seems like my only concern would be if you're taking the fish out of that water, how are you sure that he's actually that good at it?
That's fair, and I think that is fair. I think the thing with Brett Bielema is I like that Hayden Fry thing that he played for him. I like that he coached under Ferentz. I like that he coached under, what would that be? Who did he succeed at Wisconsin? Was it Alvarez?
Yeah.
Okay, so he succeeded him and coached under him, and then, of course, then he won at a high level at Wisconsin and at Arkansas. I'm not saying he's my number one guy, but I have warmed to Brett Bielema a little bit as well.
You convinced me to not be like
Really? Yeah, exactly.
The guy who's like shirtless and hot tub pics who got fired from Arkansas. Like, yeah, I'm just viewing him differently now after actually reading about him.
Before we take a break, Isaac Ambrose, I think I've actually gained a little respect in your eyes for what we won't tell everybody why or what the we'll tell them the answer. We won't tell them the question.
Okay.
But I think you were impressed the fact that I was able to get Jason Sehorn out of nowhere.
That was really impressive.
Because you had asked me a question.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? I mean, it blew my mind, this
question.
Granted,
you kind of got the last name wrong.
I did get the last name wrong, but it was who I thought.
Yes, you were right.
Yeah. We won't even go into how I got the last name wrong. But I certainly was like, well, I think that's Jason. And then I'm like, oh, no, Sehorn. That's what it was.
Yep.
And you were like, how do you even know that? I don't know. I don't know how I knew that.
So your categorical knowledge is nowhere near Carperized in terms of recollection. But the difference is you are able to suddenly pull something that I could never remember.
The weirdest things.
Like, oh, yeah, 20 years ago today was that day we got 10 inches of snow and I was out. And I'm like, what? How do you know that?
I didn't drink that day. Maybe that was it. No, I'm kidding. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to get Pipes on the Horn from the State Farm Center. We'll ask him just a couple of questions. I just want the ambiance of Derek Piper being live at State Farm Center. We'll do that when we come back, and then we'll listen to some Brad Underwood audio to wrap up the show. Illinois and Minnesota kicking off Big Ten action tonight. It is a drug.
She sleeps hot, even when the weather outside is frightful.
Jack Frost here likes it cool.
Introducing the new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, now temperature balancing, so you can sleep better together.
But will it keep me asleep?
Yes. It intelligently senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you both effortlessly comfortable.
Will I have more energy for holiday shopping?
Does Rudolph have a red nose? And now save up to $700 on new Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds, plus special financing, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Hey, Grandma, I haven't heard from you in forever. Why don't we message on the computer anymore?
I just don't trust the darn thing anymore. Viruses, people stealing my bank records. Why can't we just go back to the way it used to be? A handwritten note or a long Sunday evening phone call?
Grandma, you don't have to be scared of the internet anymore. Just contact Area-Wide Technology, 359-8041.
Thank you, Johnny. Now, how about you message me that report card of yours?
Gotta go.
Urbana Park District is coming to you. Introducing Urbana. Urbana is the Park District's new mobile recreation unit. Through a generous partnership with the Carl Foundation, bringing fun activities to a neighborhood near you will happen more frequently. Follow Urbana on Facebook and Instagram to see where it will be next. Remember, at Urbana Park District, you belong here. Visit urbanaparks.org for details.
At Bonnie and Soul, you know that their experienced associates have been helping runners get the proper fit for over 41 years. And during this time, Bonnie and Soul Sports encourages you to go running or walking or anything to stay in shape to keep you fit both mentally and physically. And at Bonnie and Soul Sports, they offer free shipping on any purchase over $69. Bonnie and Soul Sports is also safe to visit with all COVID and CDC guidelines followed. Bonnie and Soul Sports, simply the best at what they do, just off Neil near Curtis in Savoy. Visit them at bodyandsoulsports.com. If you're looking for rapid COVID-19 testing, it's now available at Campus Town Urgent Care at Green and Wright in Champaign. That's 631 East Green Street. Get a test and know within 15 minutes or less whether you have coronavirus. Dr. Tom Plura at Campus Town Urgent Care personally calls all positive patients within 30 minutes to inform them and to answer questions. During the emergency pandemic, patient insurance covers the cost of testing with no co-pays or deductibles. Medicare and Medicaid covers the test fully. Appointments are necessary, but quick and easy. Never leave your car and results in 15 minutes or less. Go to covedtest.center to book your time. Stop missing work or waiting around for days to find out results. Go to covedtest.center to book your time for rapid COVID testing from Campus Town Urgent Care. That's covedtest.center.
Join Cunningham Children's Home for a special holiday event.
Cunningham's Luminaries of Hope and Live Nativity. For $10, you can purchase your very own luminary in memory of or honor of the special people in your life. 777 luminaries will be on display that represent each child, individual, and family we have served this year. On December 5th, 12th, and 19th, you can drive through our campus in Urbana to experience the magic as hundreds of luminaries light your way to the live nativity. More details about Luminaries of Hope can be found at cunninghamhome.org.
Hi, I'm Flora Adams-Williams, physician assistant at OSF Family Medicine Group. The CDC recommends that everyone over the age of 6 months receive a flu vaccine each season. The flu vaccine strain or vaccinations will change each year, so it's important that everyone receives an updated flu shot.
Hello, I'm Jared Rogers from OSF Healthcare. With COVID-19 impacting our community, it is more important than ever this year to get a flu shot early. It takes about 2 weeks for your body to develop antibodies, and if you've ever had the real influenza, you surely know that you don't want the flu and anything else at the same time.
They can have very similar symptoms such as fever, cough, sore throat, body aches, fatigue. If you feel like it is more than just the flu, we recommend that maybe you could get the COVID-19 testing, and there are free testing sites throughout the city. OSF will provide that test.
Avoid co-infection, reduce the impact on local healthcare systems, and save lives.
If you want more details, visit osfhealthcare.org.
As you drive to your vacation destination, you are assured of a trip filled with great memories of your adventures. That's because you came to Midas for a road trip pre-check. Dave and his crew in Urbana inspected and repaired your vehicle in advance for brakes that stop, a transmission that keeps you going, shock absorbers and struts for a smooth ride, an engine tuned for your best mileage and power, and the air conditioning to keep it cool. Nothing beats a secure feeling you get from Midas Tire and Auto in Urbana. Enjoy the scenery and family time knowing that Midas is with you all the way.
Hi, I'm Diane Ducey. Happy holidays, and thanks for taking us along this holiday season. So many blessings to be thankful for, even though we've had a lot of challenges. Looking forward to a great new year. And our radio cluster here in Urbana have been around for 10 years. All the best for a great 2021.
Hey, Illini fans, it's your girl, Chineo Gumakake. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Tay and Piper. Trevor Valise sitting in for Derek Piper. He bailed on us. However,
you want to get your novelty interview in.
We caught up with him. You can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. Derek Piper is live at State Farm Center. How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First time, long time. Really enjoy the show. Thanks for having me on. Here live from State Farm Center. Good to be in the building. We haven't been here for 2.5 weeks. I'll give you a little, some scene setters here. We got some cardboard cutouts behind the basket, which will be cool to see. It's good to see some faces, even if they're not maybe live and in person. But getting ready for the start of Big Ten play. Just saw Kofi working on his hands in the pregame. You got the seats pushed back on the sideline. Just a bunch of concrete. Had a manager like pounding the ball in his direction and trying to grab it really quick. And,
love it.
Yeah, we talked a lot about his hands being better, and they're trying to work on that, as they talked about leading up to this game.
Derek Piper is the king of radio live hits. He came right out of the gate. Now, who am I hearing in the background? I hear some ambiance.
Yeah, you got both teams on the court right now, getting ready, getting set here. Illinois going through some defensive rotation drills and trying to get set, get the energy up. I think that they're, from what I can tell, ready for this game. They'll be wearing the all-whites, the home whites tonight. Minnesota in the maroon, purple, whatever you want to call it. One note I would say on Minnesota, we didn't talk about this. Brandon Johnson, who's a starter, transfer from Western Michigan, he missed the last game with an injury, an ankle injury that he sustained against Boston College. He's out there right now warming up and getting ready. So that would be a nice addition for them in their front court. He's 6'8", pretty good athlete.
Hot tip from Derek.
I tell you
pre-game.
What.
If you were in another state, you could even parlay that into betting advice, but oh well. Derek, one thing I don't know if you guys hit on in the first hour. Last year in this matchup, Trent Frazier was able to shut down the Gopher stud, Marcus Carr, fairly well. How do you foresee that playing out tonight? Obviously, Carr is their go-to scorer. Do you foresee another struggle from him if Trent's on him? Who do you see guarding him? How do you see that matchup playing out?
I thought Trent did really, really well against him last year. I was actually a little concerned because when you look at Carr, he's got the physicality in addition to just the explosiveness off the bounce to be able to get that quick first step. And if he gets you on his hip, he's able to drive you to the rim and finish through some contact. So what Trent really did well last year was fighting through screens. They try to get him freed up off the pick and roll. And if Trent's able to slide through and really be able to stay in front, that kind of neutralizes Carr, which is obviously a big key to their offense. Another thing, Illinois threw multiple guys at him last year. Io was on him for a little bit, DeMonte. I think you could see some of that, just kind of mixing it up, staying fresh bodies on him. Another big key is just the transition game. You look at Carr's scoring opportunities, more than 20% of his scoring ops so far this year have been in transition. We know, we talked about it, Missouri got way too many fast break points in that first half. So picking him up in transition, stopping the ball and making him give it up, I think that's really key tonight in trying to get this win against Minnesota.
Derek Piper live, State Farm Center. I leave you with this. Has Josh Whitman been walking around with another coaching figure that you may have recognized?
I have not seen Josh Whitman yet. It would be kind of funny if he was sitting in a section with cardboard cutouts and just a variety of different candidates.
Maybe that's a great idea.
He's got Brett Bielema to his left and Jim Leonard to his right, and who knows, Bob Stoops might be sitting up in C somewhere, but that would be funny. I have not seen Josh yet, but, yeah, obviously the talk amongst the media and all the fan base right now is who's going to be your next football coach.
I love it. Will we see you on TV tonight, or are you hidden somewhere in a suite?
I am up. I am up in the 200 level, or just below it, I should say. If a ball flies up here, which I hope it doesn't, I lost a laptop at Missouri last year.
That's so right.
No, I don't think you will see me, but you can know that we're together in spirit.
Yeah, welcome to the world of the peasants, you know, where I have to sit, you know, instead of down on that court. Hey, Derek Piper, have fun. We'll talk to you tomorrow to recap this game, my friend.
Can't wait. Quick update. Bo Borowski's in the house. So.
For whatever that's worth. Just hang up. Thanks for ruining it, Derek. See you, buddy.
See you guys.
That was excellent. Derek Piper's
that was really good.
Oh my goodness. Seeing you didn't want that ambiance. Derek Piper is the king of the radio hit.
Nice to see you on that one. Okay, that worked.
I didn't know he was gonna just kick you know what. All right, here's what we're gonna do. Quick break, come back. Brad Underwood met with the media yesterday. You're gonna hear all. Was that today?
Might have been this morning.
It may have been this morning. It at some point.
It was either yesterday afternoon or today. Yeah. Since Sunday, it's been a blur for me.
Has.
I don't know.
It has. You'll hear from your Fighting Illini coach next. It is the Drive.
Hey, Illini fans. Celebrate December with the best pizza on the planet. Jet's. It starts with hand-pressed dough, fresh mozzarella, and sauce made from Mama Jet's secret family recipe, all baked to perfection for a thick golden crunch. It takes more work, but take one bite and you'll get it. Now get a one-topping Detroit-style eight-corner pizza for $14.99. Eight crunchy, cheesy corners, just $14.99. Online only, code 8CR12. Jet's. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is Dan Moyson, president of Simplified Computers. COVID-19 has changed the way we work, study, and play. The virus is ripping across the country, but the little culprit will not win. Simplified Computers remains dedicated to helping you work safely. We offer in-store and curbside service 7 days a week. We are a one-stop computer sales, repair, and consulting company. Come see us today at 901 South Neal Street or online at simplifiedcomputers.com or at 352-5000. Simplified Computers, simply the best.
The holiday shopping season is winding down. Don't get stuck waiting on a package that doesn't arrive in time. Shop local at Game Day Spirit and find everything you need today for the Illini fan on your shopping list. Holiday doorbusters are now available. Illini crewnecks, $14.99. Polos, $17.99. Hoodies, just $19.99. Gift cards redeemable in-store or online are also available. Game Day Spirits open daily at 6th and Green in Campus Town. Neil and Kirby in Champaign, where Illini fans shop.
What are they doing at Sarah Champagne? Ben Quattrone and Jen Falcon want me to tell you that Sarah Honda Service is offering express service, which will include oil change and tire rotation for $39? What?
Sarah Honda Champaign offering express service, which includes oil change and tire rotation for $39. You need to call them right now, 356-0303, or go to sarahhondachampaign.com. That's 356-0303, or go to sarahhondachampaign.com.
Hi, this is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you want a locally owned family business to help you always be comfortable, who have trained, talented, licensed, and experienced technicians, then call me to schedule an appointment. We'll check your furnace to make sure it'll keep you warm this winter. And just like our name, ABC, you will always be comfortable. We are a licensed Amana dealer and are standing by to help you anytime, day or night. Call me, Gina, at 352-5400 or at abcheatingandac.com.
What if you could buy groceries and help those in need at the same time? By shopping at Salt and Light Urbana, you partner with us in helping people right here in our community. Regularly buying some of your groceries will help others to feed their families while you feed yours. Salt and Light. Shop, donate, change lives.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lance, Trevor Valise. You just heard from Derek Piper, State Farm Center. Brad Underwood met with the media, getting us ready for tonight's game. Take it away, Brad.
I'd like to really get started by mentioning the loss of one of Illinois' family in Illini basketball. Jimmy was obviously a guy that was a very popular figure, a part of our family, well-respected in so many circles, not just in this state and in this program, but in the world of basketball. And our thoughts and prayers are with his family. And it's a tough year when we're losing two of our greats and Lou and Jimmy and everything that they had done to build this program. So, first of all, I'd like to start there, and our thoughts are with them. So, coming off the Missouri game, a game that was unique in the fact that we fouled a lot. It was uncharacteristic. It was something that we really didn't foresee that kind of problem coming. I think we're 114th in the country now and foul rate, which is extremely high, considering we were 13th last year. We were responsible for 28 points at the foul line and just transition breakdowns in the first half. And when we make teams shoot contested shots, we're really good. The defensive efficiency was a 0.6, which is off the chart, shooting contested shots. But we can't make mistakes by fouling. And then they hurt us in transition, which is something we had not been hurt by. So obviously you compound that with missed free throws, it turned into a struggle just to get back in the game. Io was phenomenal. Io did what the best player in the country does. When your team's down, we put the ball in his hands and he went and got us baskets. He drew fouls. And created an opportunity for us to get back in the game. And I think Io is the third most efficient player in the country behind Garza and Trace Jackson Davis right now. And he proved that. But it was a frustrating night. And I always revert back to a mental focus and preparation when we missed free throws. That's one of the things that we can't do as we move forward here in league play. But now it's on to Big Ten play, a Minnesota team that got very old with all transfers. They returned one of the best guards in the country and Marcus Carr. They're a team that is obviously undefeated. They're playing well. They've got a center in Robbins, who is, in my opinion, he's excellent. I think he's one of the top guys in our league. 7 foot, can step out and shoot it. He's been a terrific shot blocker for them early. And then the young man from Utah, Bach, is an active wing who gives them a secondary ball handler. So You know, this is a very, very good basketball team, and Richard's done an excellent job, you know, in putting this team together, and they've gotten old really quick with all their transfers.
Going back to the fouling, was that an issue where it was just being called, a game being called tighter, or when you look back at it, were teams on both sides just committing more fouls for whatever reason?
You know, it was, I can look at a lot of different things. We fouled, we committed some bad fouls. You know, we committed some fouls that we cannot commit on live ball dribbles when they're not going to shoot. You know, that being said, Scott, you know, I'm really frustrated with the way Kofi's being officiated. I think it's hard because he's 300 pounds. He gets hit, he gets smacked. There's multiple occasions where they're grabbing his arm and he's still finishing. There's two occasions he's in the air for alley-oops and he gets pushed, but because he doesn't flail out of bounds because he's not 185 pounds, he doesn't get those calls. That I'm getting frustrated with, and it's not fair to the young man. It's sure not fair to our team. We did foul and we committed bad fouls. And that's the thing we've got to eliminate. We committed fouls just, you know, being uptight and they just wipe through and we reach in and foul and we can't commit those.
If you can't speak to it, I understand. Did you get any explanation on the flagrant one?
None. None of those guys are Big Ten guys anymore. Mm-hmm. They've all left our league. So they were SEC officials. So you don't turn them into anybody. It was their game, and Weimer and Terry Olson have left our conference and doing specifically SEC games now. So they work for the other guy, but there were more than a few that raised an eyebrow, so to speak.
Hey, Coach, going into the non-conference, you talked about wanting to find out how your team would be exposed by other teams. Maybe not weaknesses, but what have you learned about your team that you really need to work on based on the non-conference?
Yeah, we've got to be in a position, and it's one of the things we're going to get challenged with tomorrow night. Minnesota's top 15 in fouls drawn. You know, I think that's one of the areas that we've got to shore up defensively. You know, and there's a lot of reasons for that. We faced very, very good guards. That's the one thing we've done in this non-league. We're not going to sit back and be undefeated because we've played a soft schedule. You know, we found out our warts. We found out who we are. We played, you know, three of the best teams in the country, in my opinion, and maybe four with Ohio. So we faced great guards. We faced legit size. You know, and I think it's now just, you know, starting to fine tune some things. And, you know, we'll continue to do that. Obviously, this is a quick turnaround after the Missouri game, but at least we know we've got some things we got to work on and on both ends of the court.
Real quick, with the two freshman guards, you know, normally freshmen, you get to throw them off there and play them, but when they join a top 10 team, how much do you balance the growing pains of freshmen being out there with, you need them to get better, but you also need to maybe go with experience?
Yeah, when we've talked about that at length with our guys. And, you know, we're playing young guys. We're playing three of them. And, you know, two are seeing significant minutes. And you know, their maturation has to happen much quicker. And yet it's, you know, you got to expect some ups and downs. You know, we're living through that. They're trying to figure out, you know, what this game's all about at this level in terms of the intensity, and now seeing scouting and somebody actually scheming them and then somebody going at them. And, you know, that was the case the other night. You know, it was just a constant, you know, challenge that way. So, you know, they're growing up and having to learn on the fly. And in the meantime, our veterans are going to have to continue to be, to be the lead and take charge of that.
This season, I think it's fair to say that opposing lead guards have kind of had success against you guys. After watching film a bit, what do you kind of attribute that to, and what can you guys do better to contain them?
They're good guards. I mean, they're really good players. I mean, there's pros. You can guard the hell out of pros, and they're still going to make baskets. You know, I think we've got to do some things better on the ball. I think the one thing that, you know, we've been challenged by is teams that have had secondary and even third ball handlers. You know, we've been pretty solid other than maybe the Ohio game, and our ball screen coverage was atrocious that game, but, we've made some tweaks in that. And, you know, I think we've been better in those areas. It's sure going to get tested tomorrow because Marcus Carr is terrific. So, again, I think it's guard the basketball better, is where everything starts, especially on the defensive end.
And then speaking of Carr, you guys did a really good job on him last year, limiting him to 3 of 12 shooting, but he's kind of taken a leap this year. So what have you seen from him so far?
Well, his role's changed on their team. You know, last year he was a kind of a secondary and third option, you know, and they were playing differently because of the big kid and Aturo but I think that, you know, we've got to keep bodies in front of him. We've got to keep walls up around him. He's great when he gets an angle. He's shooting the ball different. He's got the ultimate never-ending dribble. They just let him dribble the ball. There's possessions. He'll dribble it 15, 16, 17 times until he gets that angle. And then when you've got other good players around him, which they do, and Robbins, and they shoot it on the wing spots. So those guys are create some space for him.
Hey, Brad. It's still obviously kind of a small sample size of just 6 games, but is there more or anything differently you would like to see from Kofi at this point?
My expectation level is so high for Kofi, he has a hard time meeting it. And you know, I think that you know, one of the things that we keep challenging him with is out of the area rebounding. You know, being a guy that has an extremely high motor and doing some of those things, he's playing great. You know, I mean, he had an inconspicuous 19 the other night. You know, and went against one of the top defensive centers in the country, in Tillman. You know, if he makes a few free throws the other night, we're talking about what an elite performance he has, and you don't ask that question. And I keep wanting more and more and more, and I keep pushing him. And I told him that yesterday in practice that, you know, that's how I coach. But he's playing great. He's going to have big nights, and he's been outstanding to this point.
Hey, Coach, one follow-up on Kofi. He's had some issues with his hands at times. I know we saw some of that last year. Is there anything you can do to work with him on that and kind of address that issue?
Yeah, we do it every day. I mean, those are things that, you know, we throw balls at him. I mean, and I think it's one of the things, Derek, that, you know, we do toss back work. You know, it's one of those things that he'll catch anything when you're in those drills. And then it's a matter of now he's seeing stuff coming at him a little differently, especially from Curbelo. And Curbelo puts the ball in different spots and in different areas. And that takes a little chemistry to get used to. Again, he's got to grab him. There's no excuse for that. But we continue to work at it. He's got really strong hands. I mean, you don't go and just knock a ball out of his hands if you're swiping at him. But it's just maybe a little preparation and concentration, especially when Curbelo has the ball.
The post-Missouri stretch last year was really important for your team, and traditionally you get that week to come up for air, kind of reevaluate some things. How do you get some of that same growth? Is it possible with so many games upcoming?
Well, and this week's especially challenging because we're in finals. Today and tomorrow we actually are playing games during finals, which has never been done before. But I know our guys had a heavy load today of finals and classes. It's much different, Derek. There's not those breaks this year. You know, it will help a little bit once we get through finals and we get out of our 20-hour weeks that we're restricted to while we're still in classes. And I still think we'll have a lot of improvement. We'll have a lot of time. We'll be able to get guys over to shoot more and do some of those things that we're now restricted by because of NCAA rules. So we'll see some gain, but it's obviously a lot different now with, you know, playing games through the Christmas break and through finals.
Hey, Brett, I just had a bigger picture question. Obviously, you guys are just starting to get going with the season, but how have the players dealt with everything with COVID, the pandemic, just mentally? And what do you guys do as a staff to help them, you know, through all of this?
One, we talk about it a lot. We don't ignore it. You know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, we've tried to identify with. You know, obviously there's a lot of grave concern out there right now, Jeremy, with the young man at Florida, and what his status is. You know, all of those guys in our locker room played AAU against him and know him. And, you know, and everybody's concerned about whether that's a COVID-related situation.
That is Brad Underwood. And, of course, he mentioned the young man from Florida,
Keontae Johnson.
Keontae Johnson.
They did announce this afternoon that he is stable, and he even FaceTimed the team.
Oh, great.
From his hospital room.
Great.
So.
And again, like Brad just said, we're not sure if that is a COVID-related issue.
Well, he tested positive for COVID a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and now he's mysteriously fallen ill on the court.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if those two things are related or not.
Right.
I'd be surprised if they weren't, because it seems like those things go hand in hand. But either way, it was scary that he was...
There's no doubt.
I mean, they said he was in critical condition and unresponsive, and you're going, yeah, oh, my God.
That's scary.
So the fact that he's up... talking, FaceTiming the team, yep. stuff like that, that's a good sign.
I that day, though, when they mentioned that, I started thinking of Hank Gathers many years ago who collapsed and passed away on the court. Reggie Lewis was another right. guy that had done that. And, of course, they just had heart issues, so not obviously back then.
Remember when we did the top 10 all-time scorers and
yeah.
two out of the 10 of them passed away on the court?
Yeah, and it was the ones that Weird. I kept saying. And you're yeah. like, really, Lon? Well, I kept saying, well, I think he passed away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was crazy. All right, so here we go. We're going to give... Our, I think Stevie on his site here has an Illinois fight song, and I don't know where here it is. All right, so we'll get a little background with this. Isaac Ambrose, we'll start with you. Give me a score.
Presented by Game Day Spirit, by the
yes!
way.
Yes!
These two, predictions.
Two locations, Green Street, Neal Street. Check them out, GameDaySpirit.com.
Let's get the Illini 75. Minnesota 69.
75-69, good.
He almost did the UNC score for like the 18th time.
I
not,
know!
Not him, but between the three of us.
I know, I know. All right, now you and I, because I didn't know this didn't last as long, you and I get the closing song.
Okay. Go ahead. Illinois 85,
ooh.
Minnesota 64.
Wow!
Yeah, you heard me.
See, I think it's going to be a little bit of a blowout. I'm not picking that big. I'm going Illinois 86, Minnesota 72.
Okay.
Illinois gets out to a 1-0 start in Big Ten, 5-2 overall. We'll talk all about it tomorrow right here. Make sure you join us then. Thanks for everything. Nobody to thank.
Well, Derek joined us from,
yeah.
from the
Derek
State
Piper.
Farm Center.
Thanks, Isaac.
Yeah.
Thanks, Trevor. I'll see everybody tomorrow. Go Illini!
Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.